Turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Really looking at part 3 today. The God who holds your breath. His palace. And while there, he's greeted by the king in things concerning the history of his nation and more importantly of God. And it was brought in before the king. The king answered and said, "Are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah? That light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in, but known to me its interpretation. You shall be clothed with purple and of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king and made known to him the interpretation. "O king, the Most High, and because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast. The Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lived, lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, which do not see or hear or know, but whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once more. We pray now by the power of your Spirit that you would illuminate it to our before King Belshazzar of Babylon. And Lord, that we would take the truths taught in this passage. And that now, have you ever been in a situation where there was a person there who loved themselves? That might have been you at one point or time. Or where you might have been too confident in what you thought you knew, it was clear they didn't know anything they were talking about. If you can think of an example in you where someone has been so blinded by their ignorance that they needed a reality check. Up until this point, we've seen Billy. Remember, that was the setting of the handwriting on the wall in his palace of Babylon. Remember that party in verses 1 through 4? It included drunkenness attack. Belshazzar is this king's desires. We saw that in verses 1 through 4 of Daniel chapter 5. He knew nothing of the history of his nation, knew nothing of the story and the heroism of Daniel, of Yahweh and his word and his ways. So much so, the only person in the room, he needs to call on that man, Daniel, of whom his father, or really his grandfather, appointed back in his, of this writing, this mysterious writing on the wall. But before he does that, Daniel gives, and the main idea of our passage is this. We see the boldness of Daniel here proclaiming for God, Yahweh, the sovereign one, holds his, who does not hold back. He boldly proclaims God's word and God's works. Once again, so with boldness and courage, trusting God's word and telling others concerning it as like Daniel. That by reading this true account that we see Daniel stand up firm, that it causes us, it spurs us on to be Belshazzar's lukewarm greeting of Daniel. It was bold proclamation in verses 17 through 23. We'll see the king's lackluster greeting of Daniel in verses 13 through 16, and then we'll see Daniel's bold proclamation at next time. For Daniel says a lot to the king before he gives the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall, and really wants to focus on that. Bible says this, it says, "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered, one of those exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I've heard of you. Wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretations. Now if you can, read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. If so, you shall be clothed in the king's palace." Everyone is scared. Debauchery has now come to this screeching halt. For they all just on the wall. Everyone is scared. Remember, King Belshazzar is the most scared. His face went. All have come forward, and no one can give any answers. And the wisest person there is the queen, most likely King Nebuchadnezzar's wife, who tells his grandfather's leadership. So Daniel's called. He comes before the king. Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. Now, when we read the thing of this greeting, the thing we've read so far in Daniel chapter 1 through Daniel chapter 4, expect the king of Babylon to give Daniel, the wisest of the guy, that Daniel that King Belshazzar refers to here in this verse 13, that no one could interpret, but Daniel could, and he did so rightly. For to him, it's that Daniel, that first dream of Nebuchadnezzar, was given the rule over a whole province of Babylon. It's that guy. That's that Daniel. Senses for 7 years, loses his kingdom, access, where God humbles him and then restores his kingdom. That King Belshazzar is asking to come to his palace, brought from Judah. You know, he describes Daniel as one of those exiles of Judah. You know, think, I have all the descriptions you can hear. Pride, because I think here we see him really putting down in his greeting. He's saying, look, some slave, some exile who's come before us. He does now when he needs help, the most desperate time. All of his wise men could not help him. And he has to call Belshazzar here, who probably really doesn't know the stories of Daniel chapter 2 through 4. Later, Daniel, next verses of Belshazzar's greeting, he says he has heard that Daniel has the spirit of the gods in him. He has excellent wisdom and so forth. Royal clothing, power in the kingdom. You can be the third ruler under me. To understand this writing, he knows there's something ominous to it. Just like his grandfather knew those dreams he had. Quick couple points of application. Ways we can learn from the folly of Belshazzar. I think that's what we've learned a lot in Daniel chapter 5, is just the foolishness to repeat it. Yes, it's good to know our nation's own history. There's much we can learn, much more. But even more importantly, we need to know redemptive history. The scriptures actually happen. And it's our history. It's the history of Christians. Daniel's one of our people. History of faithful Christians who have come before us over the years. Think of early church history, Middle Ages. Second, not only should we just know this history so we can not only know history, unlike Belshazzar, but also show honor where honor is history. You must know if someone is worthy of honor. An honor to Daniel. He should have known those stories, but it's lackluster greeting. Daniel, this. So I think here we can just learn much of what not to do from Belshazzar. People who show praise to those who are worthy of praise. In all of the book of Daniel, it's Daniel. And Belshazzar does not give it like he should. But now let's move to the handwriting on the wall. Lord willing, look at that next time. But he actually spends most of his response not talking about the handwriting on the wall. You know, the king, and by doing so, ultimately, he's educating him on the sovereignty of God and the power of God. Be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king, and all the peoples, nations, and languages trembled, and whom he would he killed, and whom he would he kept alive. Pardoned so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkey, until he knew that the Most High God and you, his son, Belshazzar, Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you. And you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines is your breath. And whose are all your ways. Even the beginning of it is just so good. He begins by saying, give it to another. I don't want it. Daniel knows the kingdom's about to come to one. Daniel just gives a history lesson to the king of Babylon about Babylon. He takes. But Daniel's going to give him what he really needs to hear. He recounts how the one true God described how king's palace in front of everybody. He could have easily brought a comforting word. Everybody's scared and frightened. But no, instead he just tells the truth. Proclaim God's sovereignty. Proclaims exactly what Belshazzar and the people, how Belshazzar has lifted himself up against the one true God, the Lord of heaven. How Belshazzar has blasphemed God in this most recent party and getting drunk by using the vessels, the holy vessels from the temple of the one true God. And then Daniel says, And you have praised the gods of silver and gold and of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And they don't see, they don't hear, they don't know things. And I love this. Here, these false gods in which Belshazzar and the people are praising these gods of silver and gold, these idols, Daniel says, why? None of them can do anything for you. You're praising these idols, but where are they when you are in need of help? When the handwriting came on the wall, why didn't you go to the gods of iron and wood and stone? Instead, you had come call me, this exile from Judah, this prophet of the one true and living God. He says, those idols you have, they're not real, right? They're just figurines. They're just action figures. They can't see, hear, or know. They're not truly gods. Why don't you call them for help? You can't, because they're not real. And guess what? We have false idols of our hearts today that are not real either, that cannot save us in time of need, just like Belshazzar in his day. He had to call on Daniel because Daniel knew the real God. He knew the God Most High. He knew the Lord of heaven. And then Daniel ends by contrasting Yahweh, God, with these false idols by saying this: but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, in him you have not honored. Whew. Daniel's not holding back. Notice the language here. Remember, Belshazzar asked, all he asked Daniel was, give me the interpretation of the handwriting on this wall. Daniel comes in, he says, whoa, King, you got a bigger problem than this. All right, there's a lot worse. You don't need to know what that handwriting says. You need to know who wrote it, whose hand it was. You know what I mean? Asking the right questions. For it was the hand of the living God, the God whose your breath is in his hand. Meaning your life, Belshazzar, he's holding in his hand. Now, what's more frightening, the handwriting on the wall or God, Yahweh, the one Belshazzar has dishonored, who holds Belshazzar's life in his hand? It's not the handwriting on the wall. It's God's hand who holds Belshazzar's life. The one who has power over Belshazzar's life, the power of death. And then the kicker at the very end, Daniel boldly proclaims, says, the one who holds your life in his hand, you have not honored his ways. I love it. He doesn't sugarcoat it at all. He doesn't make any excuses for Belshazzar, which most likely a lot of his wise men probably did that to keep their positions. You know, Daniel at no point in this book ever cared about position, did he? Every time he was asked to come before the king, he always told the truth. Exactly what was needed to be said. He comes before King Belshazzar and he tells him, you're guilty. You're guilty of disobeying the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, the Lord over all, the one who holds your life in his hand. And what boldness Daniel preached these verses, that he preached within these verses. And remember, I just want to remind you, how old is Daniel at this point in the story? Is he 15, 30, 45? He's 81. This is 81-year-old Daniel coming into the king's palace with all boldness and courage. This isn't spry 15-year-old Daniel. This is gray-haired Daniel at 81. And what's so striking to me is, can you tell the difference between 15-year-old Daniel and 81-year-old Daniel in the book of Daniel? Not really. Right? He's been consistent throughout the whole book. Bold, uncompromising faith. That leading him to taking courageous actions in the public sphere. He never backs down, whether it's the king's food in Daniel chapter 1, telling King Nebuchadnezzar tough words in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4, and now here in Daniel chapter 5, talking to another king, Belshazzar, and in his old age, boldly proclaiming once more an unpopular truth to the most powerful person in the world at the time. So here, I think Daniel recognizes the sovereignty of God. We see that throughout all of his life. He recognizes God is sovereign, not those humans put in positions in government. Daniel has this confidence throughout the book of Daniel, including here in his old age, because I think he knows his life is not in the hand of King Belshazzar, is it? See, everybody else that came around King Belshazzar, came around King Nebuchadnezzar, what did they think? Oh, I don't need to say anything bad or he's going to take my life. My life is in these king's hands. I think the reason Daniel was so bold and courageous was he knew from the get-go whose life, who held his life in his hands. It was God. It was never any of these human leaders or governments. It was always God. When he was 15 to 81, no hair would Daniel lose. It'd be for the young folks. Maybe find, this is a young man's game to have boldness and courage. That's a young man's game. I'm 81. Call on somebody else. I'm going to sit this one out. Let me be on the bench. Right? Let the younger people do all the courageous actions. He could have said that, but he doesn't. When he was called up, he didn't flinch or waver. It's almost like this guy, you know, it sounds just like what he would say back in the other chapters. Right? He boldly proclaimed God's word to the king. I think this is a model of not just bold faith in the public sphere, but how to live with bold faith in the public sphere as an older person. I mean, here in their 80s. Right, there's no retirement in the Christian life. I mean, Daniel didn't say, hey, folks, I'm retired. I can't be, you know, proclaiming God's word now. In fact, as we will see later in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, in almost all the cases in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that's a hall of faith. That's the, you know, the greatest of the greats. Almost every example given in Hebrews chapter 11 of someone exhibiting great faith, most of the time in Hebrews chapter 11, it's someone, the act that's being exemplified is usually them in their old age, in their 80s and beyond. Right? We saw that this morning. How old was Abraham when he did the greatest act, I think, in the Old Testament, the greatest act of faith? How old was he? 115 years old. Daniel here is in his 80s. I mean, older saint, your best years may still be to come in your Christian life and your walk with Christ. Now, what are we to take from this interaction between Belshazzar and Daniel? I think at the end of the day, the main theological point I think Daniel is just trying to hit home with Belshazzar is God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty overall, nations, people, everything. First, God is sovereign over nations and kingdoms and politics. I mean, that's something we need to hear today. You know, it's 2024. There's something coming up this year. Y'all know? If you've been living under the rock, you might not know. There's a presidential election coming up in 2024. Right? It can cause us to have great worry, anxiety, and fear in our hearts and minds and unrest. But this afternoon, I want to remind you of God's word here from our passage. God is the one sovereign over the rise and fall of kingdoms. He's the one who puts leaders in places. I mean, that's the point that Daniel tells Belshazzar. Right? He says, the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he wills. He's sovereign over our elections. Now, yes, let's make sure the elections are fair. Do our fair share of voting. Let's do all we can, but let's not worry or fret. For God is sovereign over America, just like he was sovereign over Babylon. He's sovereign over Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, just like he's sovereign over our current president now and the next president. And really, may we all stick out as a church within our neighborhoods, communities, family members, that we would be the ones that aren't freaking out come September, October, November. That we would be the ones not consumed with fear or anxiety when it comes to politics, but instead we would just speak boldly, right, in the public sphere of God's word and God's ways and trust in his sovereign power over the kingdoms of this world. Second, though, it's from this passage, it's not just that God is sovereign over the nations. Really, we've seen that throughout the book of Daniel. But also, God is sovereign over your life. You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we can easily say, yeah, God is sovereign over all the big things of life, the big decisions, the big nations, the big important leaders. But we forget that If he's sovereign over the big things, how much more so is he sovereign over the smaller things? Right? God is sovereign over all, not just nations, but the people who make up those nations, which include me and you. And he's sovereign even over the mundane aspects of life. So we're not just to trust God in our politics, but to trust God in our own lives. I mean, that's everything. That's our health, our jobs, our family, our kids, our future. For it's God who holds our life in his hand, right? It's God who holds our future in his hand, which for Belshazzar should have been the most frightening thing to hear, way more frightening than the writing on the wall. But for us as his people, when we hear that truth, how should we respond? We actually sang the song this morning. Sing for joy, afflicted one. Right? When we hear that, we are in God's hand. No one can pluck us from his hand. He's sovereign over even our lives, over our deaths, over everything in between. It should call us to sing for joy. It should cause us to act with boldness and courage like Daniel has exhibited in this passage and really this whole book so far. And lastly, let's be like Daniel. Let's be bold in the public sphere. I feel like this has been one of the main points of application for most of the chapters so far in Daniel. Let's not keep our faith and our beliefs within, you know, privately or inside these walls. But let's tell everyone. Let's be bold to say it. That even that which is unpopular or that may hurt feelings or may get us ridiculed, but that we would be bold no matter what. And that doesn't matter if that means if you're 15, be bold like Daniel, right? If you're 81, be bold like Daniel. Right, be bold with God's word. You know, I love, there's a wonderful quote by J.C. Ryle where he says, Satan will tempt you when you're younger to say you're too young to come to the Lord or to do anything worthy for Christ. And then when you're older, Satan will tempt you to say you're too old to come to Christ. You're too old to do anything wonderful for Christ. Right? Satan will do that. And we must fight that. Whether you're young or old, the Lord can save you. And not only save you, but he can use you in a mighty way like he did Daniel here in history. And the world needs to hear God's word more than ever. You think there's any politicians or kings that need to hear God's word today? I think so. I mean, not just kings or leaders, but there's just people all around us that need to hear God's word, need to hear his laws, his promises, need to know about redemptive history, need to know most about Christ. And that's really the greatest news we could share and boldly proclaim in the public sphere is the good news about Christ, about his redemptive work upon the cross. You know, for the hand that wrote on the wall that day in the king's palace, that hand who holds your life in it, it's the same hand in which those nails were driven through upon the cross. This great sovereign king who has power, all power, he came down in the form of a servant, even to the point, obedience, even to the point of death, death upon the cursed tree. So may we look to Christ, right, and by doing so, be strengthened like Daniel of old was. That we would be like Christ, boldly proclaiming God's word in the public sphere, no matter the consequences. That we would do so for God's glory alone, no matter our age, no matter what may happen to us, but that we would proclaim the truth of the Most High God, the Lord of heaven, the one whose hand, our life is in his hand, the one who went to the cross to die for us. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for your word. We thank you for this wonderful true story that you've kept for us in Holy Writ, the story of Daniel of old, old Daniel of old, in his older age, boldly standing before the king in his palace. What a scene that was. In the eyes of the world, the most powerful man in the world, shaking in his boots. And then on the other side, in the eyes of the world, just this slave who has nothing, who has no power. But we see with eyes of faith, this exile from Judah, Daniel, who's there standing firm and with boldness, with no fear, no anxiousness, but trusting in you and in your word. Lord, may this be the case for us, that we would be like Daniel of old. Lord, give us the boldness, give us the courage to be so, and give us the faith.